Chapter 9. Revenge. The Sultan then told the young king who he was and how he came to find the young king's palace. They talked together of the sorceress and how best to defeat her. Finally, a plan was agreed on. Having talked most of the night, the Sultan took some rest. But the young king went without sleep, having never slept since he had been enchanted. After a few hours' sleep, the Sultan rose. In the early morning darkness, he entered the Palace of Tears. He found it lit with torches and scented with fine perfumes. He saw the bed where the servant lay and approached it. Drawing his scimitar, the Sultan killed him, finally ending his magical existence. He dragged the body outside and threw it into a well to hide it. Then the Sultan went and lay down in the bed. He placed his scimitar under the covering and waited to complete the king's revenge. The queen arrived in the palace shortly after. First, she went into her husband's room. She removed his robes and then whipped him 100 times. The unfortunate king filled the palace with his cries. He begged her to take pity on him. But the cruel sorceress did not stop until she had given him the usual number of blows.
"You had no mercy for me, so expect none from me," said she.
After the sorceress had given her husband 100 blows with the whip, she put the rough cloth and the brocade robe on him. Then she went to the Palace of Tears. As she entered, she renewed her tears and her cries for her beloved.
"Alas," she cried to the Sultan, thinking he was the servant. "My son, my life, will you always be silent? Will you let me die without offering me the comfort of hearing your voice?"
As if he had awoken from a deep sleep, the Sultan moved slightly. Acting as though he were the servant, he answered the queen,
"There is no strength or power but in God alone."
Not expecting these words, the sorceress cried out joyfully.
"My dear lord," she cried, "is it certain that I hear you? Do you speak to me?"
"Unhappy woman," said the Sultan, "are you worthy of an answer?"
"Alas," replied the queen, "why do you criticize me?"
"The cries," returned the Sultan. "The moans and tears of your husband prevent my sleeping night or day. Had you disenchanted him, I should have been cured long ago and recovered my voice. This is the cause of my silence, of which you complain."
"Well," said the sorceress, "to make you happy, I'm ready to do as you ask. Would you have me restore him?"
"Yes," replied the Sultan. "Be quick to set him free, so that I am no longer disturbed by his moans."
The sorceress immediately went out of the Palace of Tears. She took a cup of water and set a spell over it. It boiled as though it were over a fire. She went to the young king and threw the water upon him. She said,
"If the Creator formed you as you are now, or if he is angry with you, do not change. But if you are in that condition only by the power of my spells, return to your natural shape and become what you were before."
She had hardly spoken these words when the king found himself restored to his former self. He rose up and returned thanks to God. The sorceress then said to him,
"Remove yourself from this castle and never return on pain of death."
The young king left without saying a word. He went to a remote place where he waited patiently for the Sultan. The sorceress returned to the servant in the Palace of Tears. She said,
"Dear love, I have done what you required. Now nothing prevents your rising."
The Sultan, with his voice still disguised as the servant, said,
"What you have now done is not sufficient for my cure. You have only removed a part of the evil. You must cut it out at the source."
"My love," continued the queen, "what do you mean by the source?"
"Unhappy woman," replied the Sultan, "I am talking about the town, its inhabitants, and the four islands.
All these you destroyed by your enchantments. Every night at midnight, the fish raise their heads out of the lake. They cry for vengeance against you and me. This is the true cause of the delay of my cure. Go, restore things to their former state. At your return, I will give you my hand. You shall help me rise.
The hopeful sorceress cried out in joy.
My heart, my soul, you shall soon be restored to your health. I will do as you command.
She went outside instantly. When she came to the edge of the lake, she took a little water in her hand. She sprinkled the water around her slowly, while saying some magic words over the fish and the lake. The city was immediately restored. The fish became men, women, and children. Muslims, Christians, Persians, or Jews, free men or slaves, they were all as before. The houses and shops were immediately filled with their inhabitants. The Sultan's astonished court now found themselves camped in the middle of a large, handsome, and well-populated city. As soon as the sorceress had performed this wonderful change, she returned to the Palace of Tears.
My dear lord, cried she as she entered, I have done all that you required of me. Rise and give me your hand.
Come near, said the Sultan, speaking as the servant. She approached his bed. You are not near enough, he continued. Come closer.
She obeyed. The Sultan rose up in an instant. He seized her by the arm so suddenly that she had no time to realize what was happening.
Drawing his scimitar, the Sultan killed the sorceress immediately.